אני שייך, הלב נמשך, אני בוכה להישאר, הכל כדאי, אני חי בארץ ישראל. This is my home, this is the place to be, מרגיש את אלוקיי כאן בקרבי, אז תעלה אחי ושב איתי. This is my home, זה המקום.
You're listening to the Bring Them Home Aliyah podcast, hosted by Josh Wander.
Welcome back to Bring Them Home. This is Josh Wander from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. We are fortunate again to be with Rav Nachman Kahana. It's Parashat Pinchas. Very appropriate to for a Kohen to give this drasha, and we're looking forward to hearing what he has to say.
Thank you very much. Shalom. All our friends near and nearer. Parashat Pinchas, nechon. Pinchas was my grandfather, grandfather Kohanim. In fact, just a personal note, was about a few months ago, a cousin of mine, after making a long study, sent a yichus, a list of genealogy of our family, father, 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 without skipping a generation, going back down in the Kohen, 95 generations.
So that makes you a Kohen Miyuchas.
Yeah, it has a lot of connotations. The two kinds of Kohenim today in the world, there's Kohenei Chazakah. A Kohen, you're a Kohen because your father said you're a Kohen, but you have no real proof. Then there's Kohenei Yichus. Kohenim have the names of a parent and a father back to someone who worked on the Mizbeach. So there's a big machloket among the later rabbis. When Mashiach comes, is it sufficient to be a Kohen Chazakah? A Kohen by, I say Chazakah, or be by word of mouth, or by, that's the situation.
Or you have by tradition.
Tradition. Or you have to have a list of a parent. Like there are many, or some Jews that have parents that go back to the time of the Spanish Inquisition. With this, they want to put their Jews, and the mothers and the grandmothers, and it's a situation, issue, that comes before the Israeli, the rabbinate, the courts, and some they accept, some they don't accept. So what do they do usually? They make the person go to Giyur, the Chumah. Go to get the Giyur, what can you do? We don't know who you are, what you are, and that's where they solve the problem.
Wasn't this an issue with when Ezra came back from Bavel? He tried to gather together Kohanim, and he couldn't find enough Kohanim Yuchasim to do the service in the Beit HaMikdash.
The way I understand it was, Kohanim he didn't have any Levim. Levim were the rabbis, and they can't leave their flock. If they leave the flock, the world's going to come to an end. And so he put a punishment on the Levim. Ezra.
That was in Jerba. Wasn't that in Jerba?
Jerba, that's later, that's in Tunis. This one, Ezra came back. He came back, and he came back to me, it says, with 10 different kinds of genealogies, but there are very few Levim. So he made a knas, a punishment on Levim. There's a machloket and a Mishnah. What exactly was the nature of the punishment? One opinion is that from now on, the master, the tithe that goes to the Levim, should come only to Kohanim. And the other opinion is that until now it was given to Levim, but now it's going to be the choice of the person. He can give it to Levim or give it to Kohanim. But in any event, the Levim, now today, when you go to a shul, there are more Kohanim, as many as there are anyway, than Levim. Very rare to find more Levim in a minyan than a Kohanim. Or the Kohanim themselves are only 5%. Of Am Yisrael, more or less. Okay, let's talk about we're going to talk about
the parasha, current events.
Current events. Current events always in the parasha. Okay.
The whole world's coming tumbling down, as I said.
Oh, that's what I'm going to talk about. If you feel it, and I feel it, and he feels it, then something must be going on. What's happening today in the world? An old question, because every generation asks what's happening in the world. Okay. As a Rav, who lives in the shadow of the Temple Mount in the Old City, I'm frequently asked by people to reveal the deep secrets of the Creator, sarcastically, of which my knowledge is equal to that of my neighbor, the taxi driver, when he brought COVID-19 pandemic upon humanity. Indeed, not I, nor to my knowledge, anyone living today in our world has an entrance to the pagod. The pagod is the machitza between the conscious world and the beyond. But some Torah individuals might have a premonition of what is to come, a feeling, an internal feeling. I have a premonition. I won't stake my life on it, but this do I feel what's happening. I believe that the onset of the pandemic is signaling a watershed in contemporary history. It was Hashem's way of informing the Jewish nation and humanity that is no longer, quote, business as usual. What was until now is over. Humanity has entered this final stage called Ikvata de Mashiacha, the difficult era which will climax with the appearance of the Mashiach. A time when disasters like those which occurred in Meron on Lag BaOmer, the collapse of the galleries in Pisgat Zeev, the collapse of a building in Surfside, Florida, the loss of many Jewish lives, the result of the Earth's warming in the northwest of the United States, and many other worldwide chaotic events. It will issue in an age of universal fear. Last week I wrote about the devastating effects that fear can have on an individual and on a nation, and added that this week I will write about fear as the tool which Hashem utilizes at times to achieve his desired objectives. Among the patpuri of dilemmas and barriers which stand between us and the creation of a Torah center Medina is the presence of too many inappropriate and negative peoples in our land. Firstly, there are the close to 400,000 Gentiles arrived here mostly from the former Soviet Union, by virtue of the law, the distorted law of return of Israel. The law permits entry and citizenship to any goy who has at least one Jewish grandparent and was molded after the Nuremberg laws of 1935, which defined a Jew as such. Now, I would add in parenthesis, if Hitler chose to define who is a Jew, it is insanity and national suicide to let him define a Jew for our Medina, a great-grandfather. For the most part, these 400,000 and increasing daily Gentiles have no desire to convert. They are happy to receive the benefits of the Jewish Medina, refuse to accept the major condition of conversion, the observance of the halacha without qualifications or conditions. Years ago, one cannot find a butcher store that sold chaza in Israel. Today, they abound in every city where these goyim live. Then there are the 2 million or so Arabs who are found in every corner of the land. They are professionals which are monopolizing areas of our life, such as the building trades, service center professions, including upkeep of hospitals. Then when they strike, hospital closes. The Negev is home to the Bedouin, whose way of life is a cancer, endangering the sovereignty of the state. Then they have the 80,000 or so illegals, mostly from Africa, that came in through Egypt, who are protected by our progressive Supreme Court, which prohibits their expulsion, and who are increasing at a very fast rate in order to create facts on the ground which should make their expulsion impossible. To round off the slate, there are the Jews here who seek to divest our society of every feature of Judaism in order to make the Medina into a country where all its citizens, as soon as the country of all citizens, with no Jewish features. All these together, under a democratic form of government, create a major threat to the Jewish nature of our Medina. In these circumstances, the situation is in the hands of Hashem. He must get involved and expel these subversive elements from our land, which as of now appears to be beyond our ability. But how will Hashem, our Father in heaven, go about doing so? How would he get rid of from the country of these people? Possibly, Hashem's tool will be an overriding emotion of fear, which will arouse the internal enemies of the Jewish nation to run for their lives. It could be fear of a pending war, or economic breakdown, or other chaotic situations. At the end of the process, the remaining population will have the responsibility and privilege of establishing the next Beit HaMikdash, Third Jewish Commonwealth. The last mission of Shaktek Sotar informs us of some broad detail of what to expect in this period, which could last for 5 or 50 years more, period of the advent of the Mashiach. The Mishnah says worldwide inflation where products will be abundant, but money will be scarce or lose its value. Traditional bonds of the immediate family and certainly of the extended family will disintegrate. Elders will lose respect due to them. Daughters will challenge mothers. Torah scholars will lose their elevated status. There will be a time when humanity will cease to have confidence in their resourcefulness and will lead to the time when all the world will recognize Hashem as the sole source of salvation. To close on a positive note, this week I received the following message from close friends who have just come in Aliyah from Florida. And he writes, just came across a quote from the new ANU Museum, which is the rebuilt old Beit HaTfutzot in Tel Aviv. The quote is, "Being Jewish means knowing how to pack quickly." This quote summarizes my feelings, my friend writes, but having made Aliyah, I have nothing to pack to go to my home in Israel. Unlike the generation before me, packing meant for a Jew forced to leave his temporary home to go to a yet unknown temporary home. Having made Aliyah, home is now the secure place my ancestors and my people sought but never obtained with certainty and permanence until now. This year in Yerushalayim, Bezrat Hashem. Thank you, my friend. This message is clear and vibrant. We have come home to Eretz Israel and will never be exiled again. Another little story, about 50 years ago or so, maybe a little bit more, I visited the Tel Aviv home of the editor of the National Religious HaSofer newspaper. I remarked on his impressive quantitative and qualitative library, which covered more than three walls. He then related an incident with a Holocaust survivor in that very room. The survivor was taken aback by the quality of volumes in his library and asked, "What do you do when you have to be forced to leave?" He answered, "That is not an issue because there is no reason to fear, because we will never have to leave Eretz Israel again." Again, the message is clear and vibrant. We have come home to Eretz Israel and will never be exiled again. These kind of people will never leave the land, even under the shadow of the greatest fears. But will be with the Jews in the Galut and time of fear, of this the fear? I have no inkling, except for my prayers, that we no longer Jews outside the holy borders of Eretz Israel. In closing, what am I trying to tell you, dear friends? I see a period of time when the people in Eretz Israel will be challenged to choose between remaining or leaving to, quote, save their lives. As I experienced during the 3 weeks prior to the Six-Day War, we lived in the Kiryat Sanz Netanya, and there was a steady stream of taxis taking families to the airport. At the time, we had three children and were ridiculed for not escaping. I told all our detractors that Hashem will bring about great miracles of victory, which we will experience, while you will see it on TV two continents away. And so it was. In the period of time prior to the Mashiach, all the foreign and alien elements in the country will escape, and the land will be filled with the lovers of Torah and the land of Israel. And thank God, I'm surrounded by people that I know will never give away, never give up. Hashem will always, always bring Yeshua to Am Yisrael. Shabbat Shalom, Nachman Kana from Yerushalayim.
I was speaking on the radio, our radio show this past week, about, I was speaking to Rabbi Ben Sion Klatsko from Muncie, and he was describing how he celebrated Shiva Asar Batamuz by sitting down at the table with his family, with his kids, and each one of them went around the table what they felt about Shiva Asar Batamuz, something that they can personally experience. And that was how they were able to discuss and celebrate. Well, I don't know if celebrate is the word, but to fulfill their obligation of Shiva Asar Batamuz. So I told them that what I did on Shiva Asar Batamuz is I went out to Mitzpeh Yericho, to a place in the middle of the desert. We were fasting all day. It was very hot. But we gathered about 50 people from all walks of life, from secular to Hasidish, in order to reenact the Korban Tamid, which was lost on Shiva Asar Batamuz. And I told them, I recall a saying from Rabbi Tovia Singer when he made Aliyah from Indonesia. So he said that the difference between a Jew living in Eretz Yisrael and a Jew living in Chutz La'aretz, he says, Jews that live in Chutz La'aretz are practicing Judaism. He says, the Jews that are here in Eretz Yisrael are living Judaism. And that's the difference between us. And I really felt that when I was speaking to Ben Sion, is that it's beautiful that he was able to sit with his family in Muncie and discuss Shiva Asar Batamuz, but we were actually living it.
I recall, from what you said now, an incident with my youngest daughter, Shulamit. This goes back a year or two. No, first year when we moved into the Jewish quarter in Yerushalayim. She must have been, I don't know how old she was, 5, 6. And in any event, we went down to the Kotel, went up to the Kotel on Tisha B'Av night, to say Echa. And she was taught and heard and went to the kindergarten that everyone has to cry in Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av was the day of crying. Okay, we went down, we had a mat and we had this, and she sat down next to me, and we're surrounded by thousands of people, thousands and thousands of people. And she says to me, my mama, she tugs at my sleeve, Abba, when did people start crying? Nobody was crying. Seems that the attitude of people today, to these days of Shiva Asar Batamuz or Tisha B'Av, it's a different kind of an attitude. It's an attitude of, we don't cry. We remember and we're sad. Jewish people looking forward, we don't cry anymore. It's not the wailing war, it's the Western war. Also recall another incident. I once came out from my house, and there was a group of Germans, not Jewish, I would say, and they had a tourist guide who was an Israeli. And I'm walking, and I meet the group, and the tourist guy says to me in German, "Wo is the Klauser? Wo is the Klager Mauer?" Now, I don't speak German so good. Mauer, I know from Yiddish, is a wall. Klager Zevenen. He wants the Wailing Wall. So I said to him, "Are you ready?" I was very upset that he turned to me in German. I said to him, "The Klager Mauer is in Dachau, Buchenwald, Auschwitz. Not here in Israel." He was like taken aback. And he opens up his arms and they takes the whole group away. Takes the whole group away from this Jew who recalls things that never really happened anyway.
Thank you for listening to the Bring Them Home Aliyah podcast.
Thank you so much.
If you identify with our message, please subscribe and tell your friends about us too. You can leave us a review on iTunes, as that really helps us grow. We are available on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. For sponsorship opportunities and for all other inquiries, please email us at bringthemhomeisrael@gmail.com. Check out our website at www.israeltorah.org for more content on this vital topic. This is my home.